Yo, what's bappin', sports fans? I hope you enjoyed that new intro. Stefan, you don't know about this yet. I kind of just made the executive decision today.
Yeah.
But as a podcast listener, I really hate long podcast intros.
Okay.
And I think our intro is really funny, but it's like a minute and a half long.
Yeah.
And really, you're going to start skipping past that at some point, right?
I think so.
So,
yeah.
Like, I've listened to some podcasts that have transitioned from like long intro to short intro.
Okay.
And I appreciate it. So I'm going to make a new one.
All right.
After we're done recording this.
What's your idea for it? Is it going to be a bit more positive or still kind of the same?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's okay. Well, like as we talked about recently, I've been listening to a lot of Seeking Derangements lately.
Yes.
So what Palma does when he's editing, editing their episodes with like disco and funk and
yes,
kind of prog rock. So I have like a song picked out. It's Batum by Flasket Brinner, who's a Swedish band. And that Flasket Brinner means burning pork, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, there's saxophones. It's kind of upbeat. I think it'll be good.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, check out Flasket Brinner, y'all. Other piece of news, Stefan. Big food reviewer thing. Did you see the announcement that JKM made?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
His wife Julie is no longer going to be in his videos because she never wanted to be in them in the first place.
Oh my god. Oh, I mean, good for her, but man, that is difficult to like. Did he announce it in a video?
I want to say there was a comment being like, hey, why hasn't Julie been in any of your videos recently?
Yeah, right.
He was like, well, she never wanted to be in them in the first place, so now I'm not putting them in them anymore.
Okay. Well, I guess, like, that's good, right?
For
her, and it's good that he's not pressuring her to be in the videos anymore, I guess, but
I think it's bad for us, the food reviewer watchers, because she really carried for him a lot of the time.
She's
way more charisma.
Way more charisma.
She's
more
much
positive,
better at cooking.
Better camera presence. Yeah.
Yeah, just a delight to be around, it seemed. So we're losing that, which kind of sucks. But I'm happy for their marriage, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good thing in the long run. Have you seen the latest Outlaw?
The eclipse thing.
Yeah, what is that? He said he's going on like a tour.
So, I don't know if it's real or not.
Okay.
Like, so Outlaw thinks that like Tom, co-host on WFYM Talk Radio, his rival, he thinks that Tom lives in Ohio. He doesn't.
Right.
He hasn't for a long time.
A while, like, yeah. I mean, famously, we accused him of being the Akron pooper, famously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he moved in like 2017
or
something.
It was a while ago.
It was like
ago.
Before we started streaming.
Yeah.
So he's been gone for a while. And I know Outlaw was talking about how he was going to go to Ohio for the eclipse and maybe he could meet up with Tommy Pimple. He also thinks Tom's last name is Pimple. He thinks it's Pringle, which no idea where that came from.
Right. And then he says Pimple to make fun of him. That's a James and a Trident thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm
he's
so
going to meet
I
up.
I know that.
He wanted to meet up with Tommy Pimple in Ohio for the eclipse and maybe fight in the squared circle or make some I don't fucking
sure,
know.
Sure, sure. Okay.
And then you see his little trailer for going to the eclipse, and it's edited in a really peculiar way.
Yeah.
You can't really discern where he is.
Yeah. Like, it seemed vaguely threatening.
Yeah. Which like maybe that's another, I don't know. Is kayfabe when you're lying or not lying?
That's when you're lying, I think. I think kayfabe is like putting something, it's like putting it on.
Okay.
Sort of. Yeah.
So it could be like kayfabe for the continuing like rivalry with Tom.
Sure.
But like, we didn't really, well, I guess we watched that video of him in the chair like three times in our channel in about a week. But the kind of like back and forth with Outlaw has really died down with us. So
yeah.
I really don't know what's going on. I hope he flew out from Seattle to like Cleveland or wherever to watch the eclipse for some reason.
That is, Yeah.
But I feel like there would be more content from around it. So
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
He's just a really interesting guy is kind of what it comes out to. He is. Yeah.
He's cool and we stan.
The Eclipse one was so weird because the way it was edited, it felt like someone edited it. And I guess you could say this about a lot of his videos, but it felt like it was edited to make fun of him.
Yeah. So he has, there's like, independent of like us, like our kind of sphere of content creators.
Yeah.
There were like just some like rude teens that found his stuff and would fuck with him, right?
Sure. Are they some of the people who like make the videos about him? Because I've seen, or there's like channels that have kind of like, outlaw like highlights.
Yes.
And like, okay.
Yeah. Like, well, except for Mike Burton, lewd voice actor. That was that's someone I think from our community. Okay. Clearly from the content it is. But anyways, they're like clip channels and stuff like that of Outlaw. I think that's from like the rude teens.
Okay.
And I know at times he's like subcontracted video editing to them.
Sure.
And it hasn't happened in a while that I'm aware of, but you could really tell when it did happen because it would be a lot more punchy and they would like really lean into the edits to make them more awkward. Okay. Which,
'cause you can tell when he's editing it because a lot of the times the video starts like halfway through.
And then he'll leave in bits that were supposed to be cut out.
He cuts himself off a lot of the time too. Like he'll be in the middle of talking and then it'll just stop. And it's like,
yeah. Then he just like continues the sentence from like the beginning again.
Yeah. Really, really interesting.
Oh shit. Yeah. There's another video of his from recently that was weird. Yeah. Like, yeah, that Eclipse video is bizarre, man. I did like that he went to SakuraCon and interviewed a guy and made sure to like show off that he got a press badge to show that he can be press and feel special.
Yeah.
It does make me feel bad about us that we'll never be able to get press because of the name of our podcast.
I've thought about that because I think it was Elliot was talking about Canucks Twitter today.
Oh yeah, because he was on Donnie and Dolly, right?
And I feel like if I was more active on Twitter as well, I think that would help a little bit too. Because I know I was able to get people really riled up with my Hockey Dipshit account back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think if it was like the both of us like tag teaming Canucks Twitter, that would help a little bit. But I can't post on that website until something really funny happens, and maybe it will. I don't know if you read the deposition that.
Oh no!
Oh my god! I mean, when you get the chance, read the Musk deposition because it's so fucking funny and it's so insane how stupid he is. It's crazy. It's really
like any like quick examples.
Well, he admitted to, and it's also that his lawyer is really stupid too. But he admitted to running an alt account where he pretends to be a baby.
There was rumors about that, right?
Yes, and he admitted it under oath, and then he just sounded like a total moron a lot of the time, and was just talking about how, because the whole thing is that he allegedly posted that this like Jewish college student was actually undercover as a Fed as like a neo-Nazi or whatever, and it like wasn't true. And right. And this kid got harassed for it and everything and had to go like super private online and it was like brutal for him. And Musk's whole thing was, well, yeah, I said that, but then like 6 hours later someone put a community note on it. And the lawyer's like, well, yeah, but like but like the people who saw it 6 hours ago, like, and didn't see the community note, and he's like, yeah, but the community note, anyway, it's really, really funny. And the funniest part of it is at the end when his lawyer's like, and of course we'd like to put this under like a protective order. And make sure this isn't public. And the other lawyer's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're supposed to say that before we do the deposition. So no, this is all going to be public.
No takesy back.
It's really, if you get the chance to read it, it's like entire, it's all online and it's so funny. And you just read, like reading it in his voice, he's just such a fucking moron. He's so stupid.
Real insufferable, yeah,
but,
jackass.
But Canucks Twitter getting a big shout out from Elliot today. As far as the Canadian fan bases go, and I think that sort of lumps in all the fan bases.
By extension, yeah.
Basically the most psycho fan base online.
That's good.
Which is like, that's impressive. He did say, he's like, well, Montreal might be up there. I can't understand what they're saying half the time. So it might be Montreal. But I mean, I think I would agree, man. Like the Canucks Twitter is like completely nuts.
Yeah, no, I kind of like existing in a hornet's nest.
Yep.
And I like it, especially when Canucks Twitter like comes together.
Yes.
Against a common enemy.
Yes.
I mean, like anything, right? There's a lot of infighting and back and forths about, and that'll never like change or end. But when there is like a common like evil, and I'm struggling to like find an example of this, but I do like it when, oh, like, okay, the Quinn Hughes stuff before the season started.
Yeah.
Right. With like Dom LeCision in The Athletic.
Yes.
Like,
oh, I've got some posts bookmarked for when he wins the Norris, by the way.
Yeah. If he does, dude, wow. You hear the,
I know
the, cause like Greg Wisniewski at ESPN does a, I think it was every month, like a check-in on the awards process and like who's the favorites to win, where he actually interviews people that vote on it and takes like a small sample size of who they would vote for. And Quinn Hughes dropped from somewhere in like the 70% in February, I think. Or maybe it was like beginning of March to beginning of April, whatever. The like the last one to the most recent. And then in the most recent was like 54 or 57% had him as first place for the Norris, which is wild to me.
Yeah.
I think it's just like recency bias. And I mean, Yosi's been quite good recently. And so there's a, I guess, a case to be made for it. But it's like, it's the entire season. Like, Hughes has been at an insanely high level all year long.
Yes.
You look at like the nerd charts with the like wars or whatever that was posted recently comparing Hughes and Makar, and like Hughes' impact in the game, it's not even close how far ahead he is. Oh,
Makar shouldn't be like, it shouldn't be Makar. Like, he should be out of the race.
Like, they're scoring at the same rate, but like Hughes is having a bigger on ice impact.
Yes.
Like, this is something Drance talks about all the time. The impact on the ice when Hughes is out there for the Canucks is similar to when McKinnon's out there for the Avs.
You look at like Makar's numbers without McKinnon too, right? Like, that's the big one.
And then you actually watch the games, and probably five times every game, Quinn Hughes does something where you're like, how the fuck is he getting away with this? He's so good.
Yeah. He, especially recently, he has just taken the team on his back. And the stat that blew my mind was the one that I think Cam Robinson posted. Was it 200 assists total in within three seasons?
I believe that's it. Yeah.
Let me look this up. 200 assists.
But it was Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr were the only other people to have done that.
Here is the list of defenders who have ever recorded 200 or more assists over a three season span: Bobby Orr, Paul Coffey, and now Quinn Hughes. That's so crazy.
We're so blessed. Like, I forget who said it in the Discord last night during the game. Patreon.com/I hate this team for Discord access and weekly premium episodes, including video. But yeah, in the Discord, they said that, like, I'm coming to terms with the fact that, like, Quinn Hughes is probably my favorite player ever.
Yeah.
And the best player to have ever played on the Canucks. And I think that's, like, true beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's an argument for Bure, I guess, but like,
I think there's definitely an argument that, like, he was incredible, obviously, but the rate Hughes is going, he's on pace. I mean, he's obviously already, he was the best defenseman of all time in his first game as a Canuck.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of pure skill, obviously he's going to blow away all the counting stats by the end of his career, right? Like, he's already basically there. And I think in terms of pure skill, like, I think he is going to be the best Canuck of all time by the time he's done here.
Totally. Like, I have some Canucks fan neurosis about, like, re-signing him, but give him $20 million. Who cares?
Yeah.
Give him whatever he wants. Yeah. His stuff is here. And, I mean, hopefully the team has a lot of success, and he's the captain. So there's, like, all these stacking odds where it would be a bad look on him to leave.
Yeah.
Or he can, if the Canucks win a cup with him as the captain, he can fuck off it wherever he likes. Like, I'd still be upset, but, like, I don't know. If you're a Jersey fan with Niedermeyer and he goes off to the Ducks to play with his brother or whatever, I could stomach that.
Yeah, I mean, I get
with
that.
With the caveat of a cup, like,
Jack's hurt, you know? Maybe he's going to be like, I gotta go over to Vancouver's medical staff. I don't know.
That's right.
Well, actually, what I'm interested in, do you think Jack and Luke will make an appearance in Vancouver for the playoffs.
Oh, Brady Tkachuk style.
I think they will. Like, why wouldn't they, right? Jack is out for the year. You know, they're not making the playoffs.
Hell no.
That would be sick, man. If they pan into the crowd and they're fucking there with their parents. Because the parents will be there for sure, I would imagine, right?
Was Quinn there last year? I feel like he was in New Jersey, right?
I think he was. I could be wrong. I feel like, I don't know, maybe he was, like, I feel like he was there.
Yeah, I seem to recall that as well.
It's also, it's also a bit easier to, because I think like the Brady stuff is like weird because they're in the same conference too and the same division. So like, even, you know what I mean? So it feels like a little, it's,
I was thinking back to when Brady came to Calgary and mm-hmm. they like would not stop showing him partying.
Yeah.
When they were like Battle of Alberta and against the Dallas Stars that one year.
Yeah.
I forget what happened. I think he was a lot more like cordial,
right?
I believe, in their run last year.
Yeah.
My memory is serving me correctly.
I think that's right. That would be, how sick would that be to have the Hughes boys here cheering on Quinn? Oh man.
In Canucks gear. Oh, let's go.
Oh my God.
So before we get off the awards thing.
Yes.
I usually don't give a fuck about awards, but it just seems so much. It just seems to me that Hughes is such an obvious favorite that if it were to be flipped around, I'd be pissed off about it.
Yeah.
But I was thinking back to like awards discussion from January and December when like Hughes was by far the favorite for the Norris.
Yeah.
Tockett was by far the favorite for the Jack Adams. And you've heard talk about Andrew Brunette and Tortorella and maybe what's his name in Boston.
Yeah.
And then you had the Vezina discussion. And at that point, it was still up in the air whether it would be like Hellebuck or Demko. And Hellebuck's obviously pulled ahead there. But I remember in the Hart discussion, I would hear like national level reporters talking about like the Hart, and they would bring up Pettersson's name.
Yeah.
And they said, but, you know, with what MacKinnon and Kucherov and eventually what McDavid did, like, he's probably further down that list. But if there weren't so many other good players, he'd be right up there, too. And I don't know, I was just reflecting on that today. And it's so funny hearing a lot of the conversation coming out of Vancouver about how it, like, Pettersson's still bad and everything is his fault. Like, I was listening to Halford and Bruff at work this morning.
Yeah.
And recapping the game, Bruff said they got to a 2-0 lead. Vegas did. Some bad defense from Petey. And I'm like, those first two goals. What's his name? The short guy. Marchessault, he got past Petey. But like, Myers blew coverage. And Soucy really blew coverage.
Soucy did not have a great game last night.
That was not like a good 3-on-3.
No.
But like, of all the people that were, you know, at fault there, I'd put Pettersson way down the list.
For sure.
And then the first goal was just like a soft power play goal that I'm sure Seelovs wanted back.
Yeah.
And who was it that was tweeting out about the scouts talking about how good Pettersson was defensively?
Oh.
And that came up in Discord earlier.
I saw
earlier.
That. I did see that. Yeah.
I'm going to pull it up.
Yeah, I did.
Or
I mean, look,
maybe I'm not.
He looked great. He looked really, really good. Like, that's kind of, he just looked.
Yeah, no,
he looked really good.
He was good. He set good screens, which, I mean, is that us like really? Oh yeah, Friege said he was talking about how he was sitting next to scouts at the end of the game, and they were raving about Pettersson and his defense, which I agree with. Like, he looked very good.
Yeah,
you look at the underlying numbers; they've been good for a while.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he only got an assist last night. No, he's not making like MVP level efforts, but the piling on him is, it blows my mind. Like, why we keep having this discussion, even when he's not playing particularly bad, he's just not being a world beater.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because like, if you want the Canucks to win the cup, he's going to have to do that, which, yes, like for anyone to win the cup, their best players all have to play out of this world and you have to get super lucky.
Of course, yeah.
But like the neurosis about it is driving me up the goddamn wall.
For sure.
Yeah, like he had a better Corsi 4 than the JT Miller line last night. shots for or against. JT was slightly better, which there's another thing. JT Miller fucking rocks.
100 points. 100 points, baby.
100 points. Oh. But that game last night was so fun because
we just needed that win. Like, that's such a huge win. So they fucking needed that win.
I don't even know if like the team needed it as much as us as observers needed it.
Yes.
Just to like kind of release some of that tension. Like, I'm sure it's good for the team as well, right?
For sure.
But like, I don't know. Dranson said this. It's not an original thought by me, but this really does feel like preseason two, where, yes, there's stakes, but I mean, you look at the odds for who the Canucks are going to face, and it's basically split.
It's Nashville or Vegas, or LA. Yeah.
I pulled up Dom's shit here. It is. Right. So the Canucks' most likely opponents, the Predators at 37%, then the Kings at 34%, and then Vegas at 27%. So, like, give or take a few percentage points is about equal chance that they play any one of those three teams, right? So winning the Pacific, I feel like we talked about it last time, how you don't want to have a Naslund we choke situation. It'd be like cool to do and guarantee home ice, etc. But like, no matter what they like, it's not like there's a New York Islanders or a Detroit Red Wings that is going to sneak into the last wild card that would be better for them by a wide margin.
It's
going to
be a tough matchup. I think Nashville is still the best one out of those, but it's going to be tough either way, right? You're not going to have an easy matchup. And
no, there's like, and I mean, it's the playoffs, right? Like, if you want to win, you have to beat a bunch of good teams. Yes. Like, I'm not particularly concerned about who it is, no matter who it is, because there's cases for and against all of those teams, right?
Yeah.
Like, I agree. My preference is Nashville. Like, the high-flying offensive Andrew Brunette team in the first round of the playoffs, it seems like a good match to me.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they have some scary players, but they're not nearly as deep as Vancouver. And, I mean, Vancouver's owned them in the season series. This was prior to the U2 concert debacle.
Of course.
Whatever. Like, L.A., I think their game is really dependent on them scoring first, which they've done in all four of their meetings against Vancouver. The likelihood of that happening over an entire playoff series is slim. Alex in Discord did bring up that it happened to Colorado in all seven games against Seattle last year. So it's not impossible. And then Vegas, like, kind of the sleeping giant, but the Canucks played them not at full health.
Yeah.
Granted, neither was Vancouver last night. Beat them. They beat them twice this year.
Yep.
Like, I think the Canucks have a chance at beating anybody. Colorado scares me the most.
Look how they played last night, right?
But,
like, that's if they play like they did last night, they can beat any team in the league, right?
Yeah, which, like, when the intensity ramps up for game one of the playoffs, I'm sure you're going to see the best version possible of this team.
Yes.
Just like you're probably going to see the best version of the opposing team.
Yeah.
But that's the playoffs. That's why it's fucking cool.
That's right.
So my point is, like, these last few games, like, they matter a bit, but, like, we all know what's coming up, right? Like, it is kind of just this, you're getting,
yeah, you're building the up. Main thing the playoffs, is finding right? out so, like, who you're going to play, is finding out if they win the division, which is, the odds are looking pretty good. Obviously, they have to play Edmonton, which is that's a huge game now. But at the same time, McDavid is out for at least one game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. If not two,
which, by the way, in the other keeper league I'm in, the finals are on right now, and it's like tied or like very, very close. And one of the guys does have McDavid, and he's so fucking choked right now.
Oh, that is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Dom Lecision has the Canucks at 67% to win the division.
Yeah.
And Money Puck, I have it pulled up here, has the Canucks at 82%.
Yeah.
So it's looking pretty good. I think standings wise, I remember reading that the Canucks, if they went 2-2 over their last four, and Edmonton would have to go 5-1.
Right.
So, yeah, the Canucks are up by 5 with 2 games in hand.
Okay.
So, yeah, Edmonton would have to, I don't know, I'm not this fucking good at math on the fly.
If Edmonton beats Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
I think they kind of control the destiny in terms of winning the division, I believe.
The Canucks have the tiebreaker, though.
Yeah, because let's see. So
Canucks have more regulation wins, right? And they have the better head-to-head record.
Yeah, so they have both tiebreakers, so, I think. I don't know. Yeah, and then is goal differential, is that third? I forget what the order of tiebreakers is. Either way, they're looking good on tiebreakers, but
either way, they're not going to, like, Vancouver has five more regulation wins, right? Yeah. So it's not going to come down to to that unless the Canucks lose out and Edmonton wins out, which
I mean, in which case
then Edmonton would just straight up win. Yeah. So
yeah. So yeah, four games left for the Canucks, six for the Oilers. And they're playing, are they playing Vegas tonight?
They play Vegas tomorrow. So
with no McDavid, Oilers, with no McDavid, apparently.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they play Vegas tomorrow. Then they have the Coyotes on Friday, then Vancouver on Saturday, the Sharks on Monday, Coyotes Wednesday, and then they finish the year against the Avalanche and the second leg of a back-to-back on the Thursday.
Okay.
So it's a very condensed schedule. There are some cupcake matches in there too.
Yeah.
But there's also some good ones. And we've also seen the Coyotes, like what they did to Vegas on last Friday, right?
Yes.
Like, the Coyotes can surprise you, relevant to the Canucks as well, playing them tomorrow. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really see Edmonton going 5-1 there.
Yeah.
And like, I think if the Canucks go 2-2, they still have the tiebreaker. So yeah, pretty big game against Edmonton. Interested to see if Demko's going to be back.
Yeah. Cause he's skating again. He is skating. And yeah, I know Talkett talked about having three goalies in the playoffs too, which is interesting. Yeah.
Which is very interesting. He wasn't a full participant at practice though. Like he left before the actual practice,
right?
Which indicates that he won't be playing on Wednesday against the Coyotes.
I think they're going to play the Shilovs again, probably, is my guess.
Yeah. So what did you think about that last night? Because to me, both power play goals he let in were shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were like unscreened shots that weren't tipped that just went in. And I get that it's on the power play. There's nothing that he could have done about that second one.
Yeah.
Like that's really Demi Susie's fault. He dived, he made his best effort. But the two goals that he let in, I thought were softer than baby shit.
They were not now, good, but weirdly, I still felt more secure with him in net as opposed to DeSmith. And maybe it's just because I'm not as familiar with him. So it's like, but it's just more that DeSmith has fallen off the fucking map the past couple weeks. And it's like, not his fault. I think he's overworked for what he, you know, what he's expected to do, right?
So we're really getting the Casey DeSmith experience,
as Rat Brothers
where you
said,
think he's you think he's great, and then he plays a bunch more than he's supposed to, and you're like, I'm pretty much sick of this.
Yeah, I think we're good like, here.
Like when the games where he's let in a whole bunch of goals, I wasn't left as I wasn't left with the same feeling of like that was really soft. He should have had that.
Yeah,
but he let in like more of them
for sure. Yeah,
I know like. At 5-on-5, DeSmith has had like a 9.15 since Demko went down, which is good. It's like above league average or right at league average. It's just on the power play where he's been very porous.
The rebounds, the rebound control.
The penalty kill.
The rebounds are terrifying. Also,
the rebounds are terrifying, which I did like watching Seelovs last night. I'm all for giving Seelovs more looks. Like it is preseason two, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's important. I think giving him that game against Vegas was important just so you can better plan for the offseason, right?
For like, sure. Yeah.
I think my preference would be the Canucks get cheap backup to be backup. Seelovs is still waiver exempt for another year.
Yeah.
So have him start in the AHL, but also bring him up for a bunch of games in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe try and get him like 20 starts and Demko gets 50 and then the other backup gets like a few in there, right? I'd like to see him do something creative like that, but by the same token, right, if you can save money by having Seelovs up here and you're comfortable playing him 35 games, maybe more, go for it. The only thing is if like Demko gets hurt, as he is wont to do, do you really want to be running with Seelovs?
I think at that point you're kind of fucked either way. If that happens. So
I mean, they've been treading water with Demko hurt over the last God, was it 5 weeks now?
It's been a while. Like, it could have been much worse. You know what I mean? But
yeah. The other thing last night too is that was just like the best Vancouver's played defensively in a while.
Yeah.
So I think I felt more secure like in the third period just because they were so effective at shutting down Vegas.
For sure.
But if they were playing like that in the third with Demko, I'd have 100% thought that they were going to win.
Yeah.
With DeSmith, it would have been like 60%. With Seelovs, I was at like 75 last night. So I felt more secure, but it's like not as secure as if Demko was in.
For sure. But I think at the way DeSmith has been playing, and again, nothing against him. Like he's performed admirably this year, but there's a limit, I think, with a backup for, you know, how long they can kind of take the reins. And I think we've probably reached that limit. Yeah.
Yeah. But on that like shutting down thing.
Yes.
Thought.
Yeah.
I want to suck off JT Miller a bit more.
Please. Because by all means.
We were really hard on him all last year. Oh, it was like a running bit. Like yeah. E7. We wanted to trade so bad. And the entire time it's like he's can produce, but it's gonna fall off. If you told me that he was gonna break 100 points in this new contract when he signed it, I would have thought you're fucking insane. And he's done that and is gonna, because he's at 101 points now, isn't he?
I think he might be. Yeah.
Players on NHL.com. Yeah, and he's also been like really good defensively. Because that was the other thing is the club would talk about how, well, we have this really good shutdown center in JT Miller, and we're like, well, he's a winger and he's not that good at shutting down players. Since Tocchet's come through, he's been legitimately good.
Yeah.
At being a shutdown center. Like last night he was matched up with Eichel. Or against Eichel. And yes, Eichel scored those two goals on the power play, but at even strength, shots were 7-3 for the Miller, Garland, and Joshua line.
Yeah.
Against Jack Eichel.
By the way, the bit of wearing the Connor Garland 400th game shirts was really funny.
That's super funny. Yeah. That is really cool to do.
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
That whole moment last night, like, it got me right in the feel, Stefan.
Oh.
When they were chanting Connor Garland and Kate Pedersen was trying to interview him and he was just like kind of smiling, like
really good. Given how the year started and everything and you know the trade rumors and what have you, it's very nice to see.
It made me feel feelings.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
so nice to care. I know I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is genuinely very nice to care about this team again. And it is nice to have a likable team again, right? Because
yeah.
It was just those Manning years were so bad because the team was not very likable, right? Like the guys he was bringing in Eric Branson and Brandon Prust and Travis Hamonic and Brandon Sutter.
Derek Dorsett.
Yeah. I mean, Dorsett, I don't.
You've got time for?
I got time for Dorsett because, you know, he tried his fucking hardest.
Unsung hero of the year twice.
Yeah. And then had the really bad back injury. So, Dorsett, I have time for. Sutter. Look, they gave him, he had a really bad contract, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that was not his fault. That was Jim Benning's fault, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone like Brandon Prust is one of my least favorite Canucks of all time. That guy, I will say he did spear Marchand in the nuts, which I do respect that, of course. But I mean, goddamn.
He gave up Dale Weiss for him.
It was just,
Dale was the man.
That was so bad, dude. Like, I can't. Yeah, it's just it was awful.
But yeah, so JT, back to the jersey.
Yes,
bet.
Yes, yes.
We were talking about this last time. Tough for us content creators around tax season,
of course.
But thanks to RRSPs,
of course.
I'm getting some back, so we're going to get the JT Miller jersey.
Beautiful. There you go.
In time for playoffs, I think. But I wanted your opinion.
Okay.
I think I'm just going to go with the home blue orca because the home blue orcas that I have has like the gaudy Vancouver crest over top of the whale.
Yeah.
So I don't have like the classic one. The only other option would be to get the skate jersey. But when I was looking online yesterday, the like customizable skate jerseys are fanatics.
Yeah, man. I think
at least on Van Base,
you got to go for whatever the Adidas one is, basically.
Yeah.
At this point, fortunately, on whatever, however you want to say it, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, like Fanatics is fucking. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the baseball jerseys and how fucking
bad
they look.
Yeah, when it comes across my feed, yeah.
Holy shit. It looks awful. So, yeah, I think it's I think it's time to get an Adidas jersey if you can. I'm going to probably get one in the next month or so. But, man, god damn. I'm just excited for the playoffs. I keep thinking about it. I was talking to Jesse.
Yeah.
Right? Because, obviously, he's in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
If it is Vancouver-Nashville, I think we are going to have to do a Golf King stream where we watch a playoff game.
Ooh.
Maybe a game in Nashville. Watch one. I mean, it's like, you know, we provide a link maybe to people to watch along if they would like to, and then we have it on like a second monitor, and then
So I've seen Jesse wear a Vancouver Canucks t-shirt.
Yes.
But would he like...
He would lean into being a Nashville fan, and I think he would lean into the bit of not really caring, which would be so frustrating if they won.
I'm just like, you're really... If the Canucks win the game that you watch with Jesse...
Yes.
Fantastic.
If they lose, it's bad.
But
if they lose, it's brutal.
The stakes are really high if they lose.
Yes. Correct.
Because, like, you're going to be pissed off in, like, the best of scenarios.
That's right. Yeah.
So then to have, like, Jesse talking shit and, getting under your skin about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
That's where the fun comes in, though.
I don't know, man. Another big piece of Canucks news.
Mm-hmm.
No longer first in the NHL in PDO.
It's Boston now, is it not?
It's Boston.
Wow.
They are tied 1.029.
Okay.
But for some reason, now that I sorted by it again, it put Vancouver on top of Boston. But when I looked earlier,
it was Boston on top of Vancouver.
But
also a worse Corsi 4 percentage too. I saw Florida's is like 56, which is terrifying with a lower PDO as well. So
yeah, no, I was looking at just expected goals for this season, and Vancouver is ninth.
Okay.
Which is above like Winnipeg, Colorado, Vegas, Boston, Pittsburgh. But you know who's above Vancouver? Philly. And also the Devils. So make it that what you will, I suppose.
Philly's had a weird year. Are they still
Vancouver,
in the, let me see
six
the standings
in high
right
danger
now.
Chances for?
Okay. Let's see.
That's the thing, right? Like, and even over these last few games, like I feel like I say it all the time now. Well, like the results have been mid. Their underlings have been good. They were good against fucking LA.
Yeah.
When they lost. I mean, there's definitely some score effects going on there in that game against LA, but they didn't look terrible. They just made some big fuck up mistakes, which cost them the game.
Yeah.
You would like to see some better discipline.
I think so.
You mentioned Soucy having a bad game last night. What was that tripping penalty
that
he took,
so
man?
Weird. Yeah.
Like, I get that whoever he tripped went down pretty easy.
Sure.
But why are you giving that, like, the chance of that happening to you behind the play?
I know. It was
it just
not good.
Doesn't make no damn sense.
No, it doesn't. It just doesn't. I'm looking at the standings right now, and it kind of rocks having an actual playoff race in the East.
It's really interesting. And I believe the Islanders and Wings play on like Thursday.
Oof, that's going to be good. Cause right now, I mean, there's obviously two wild card spots, right?
Yeah.
And right now it is the Islanders and the Penguins. Or is it the Islanders and
Philly's out now, right?
Philly's out. So Islanders have 85 points with 5 games left. Penguins have 84 with 4 games left. Red Wings have 84 with 5 games left. Capitals have 83 with 5 games left. Philadelphia has 83 with 4 games left. So Philly is in the worst position right now.
Which, I mean, let's be real. That's where they should be.
I mean, they have been punching above their weight class the whole year.
Yeah. Expected goals was good. So yeah. Who the fuck do I know?
I wouldn't want to play Pittsburgh in the playoffs just because you have Crosby and he can just pop off. You know what I mean?
Right. But Nedeljkovic has been good.
Yeah.
He's kind of stealing the starting position from Jari at this point, which is pretty funny given that Jari's on like the first year of a $5 million, 4-year contract or something. Thank fucking God we didn't trade Demko to sign Jari in the offseason, by the way.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah, no, Detroit plays Pittsburgh on Thursday.
Okay.
So it's going to be a huge game in Pittsburgh. We're talking about trophies. Crosby for the heart.
If they make the playoffs, the thing you see on Twitter is like people discussing like what constitutes an MVP. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of different arguments for it. This is a really interesting year because you've got the playoff race in the East, right? You've got the Hart Trophy race, right? You've got the Art Ross race. You've got the President's Trophy race, and you've just got like the most wide open playoffs I can remember.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting.
Man, Kucherov had 136 points, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That was wild. Yeah, yeah. McDavid with the 100 assists.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he was out for the rest of the year with whatever's like nagging at him and he finishes it because he's at 99, right?
Oh, is he not actually at the. He didn't actually reach 100 assists yet, did he? There's no way they're gonna play him at least one game before the playoffs. I would imagine they have 6 games left, right? So, by the way, the schedule makers. The whole year it's been Edmonton has like so many fucking games in hand, and I'm tired of it. God.
Yeah. Well, they're gonna get rid of him soon. That's true. Yeah. McDavid's at 99 assists.
Jesus Christ.
Which. Yeah. Then fucking will Austin Matthews get to? To 70 goals.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
That would be something.
Okay. Let's see how many. Okay. Colorado, Vancouver have the same amount of games played and Hughes has a 4-point lead on Cale Makar.
Okay. Yeah. But Cale Makar has more goals
on Roman Josi. Oh shit. Fuck off. Who cares?
Oh boy.
Yeah. Hughes has more assists. He's more of a team player.
I mean, Hughes has just been unreal all year. Like, if you just fucking watch him play and, like, look at what he does for the team, right? Like, if you take Makar out of the Colorado lineup, obviously it hurts them, but they're still a very good team. If you take Hughes out of the Canucks lineup,
Game over.
They just, their decor is so bad at that point.
I'm kind of proud of the NHL statistics page where they don't have plus minus as a stat that you can sort by.
Okay.
But I do believe that Quinn Hughes has quite a bit better plus minus than Cale Makar as well for like the stupid voters.
Yes. Any stupid voters out there?
Yeah. Let's see. Hughes. Whoa, there's a player in the Washington system called Bear Hughes.
I feel like I remember that. Yeah. There's another Jack Hughes as well, I think, on LA. Very interesting.
Okay. We're gonna keep on searching this. Bear Hughes, Quinn Hughes, plus 39. And Makar is a lowly plus 13.
Oh, get out of here.
He's got to get better at defense.
Come on now.
Get that weak shit out of here. You see the Arizona stuff yesterday.
Yeah. Is that with Scottsdale?
Yeah. So like the mayor of Scottsdale wrote like an op-ed.
Yeah.
Saying that like, we're not going to help Phoenix or not Phoenix. We're not going to help the Coyotes with any infrastructure.
Yes.
I guess like water is one of the things. And they want to build like some off ramp there instead.
Okay.
But apparently the proposal that the Coyotes made isn't asking for them to do any infrastructure.
Okay.
So it could just be more of like sour grapes from the mayor of Scottsdale and also just like positioning himself with his base and like business owners right. from Scottsdale that don't want to get fucked over
but
or
they,
something.
They still have to. They still have to win the auction, right?
Yeah, which is June something.
Okay.
I believe they actually have a countdown on their site. Let me pull this up here. Arizona Coyotes auction countdown.
Interesting.
I kind of just want them to move because
at this point, just look, I feel bad for the fans, obviously. And I do have time a little bit for the argument of like, okay, like, you know, they when they make the playoffs, the fans show up when they're in Phoenix, right? But there's just like so many things working against them. How many fucking chances are they going to get, right? Obviously, you feel bad for the fans, but like, and it's a bad situation. But at the same time, it's like, just move them. Start fresh later on. Bring them back. Bring them back like Winnipeg. Bring them back like Atlanta is going to get a team again, right? Like,
yeah.
Just do that. There's precedent for that. There really isn't precedent at this point for a team being dog shit for this long and turning it around. It's not going to happen.
It's just a joke. Yeah, the auction's on June 27th. The starting bid, $68.5 million.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we talked about it after they played at Mullet, but fuck it. The camera sucks ass.
Yeah, correct.
I'm sure the atmosphere there is good, but it just feels like a joke to have it happening in a professional league. Here's my idea. The Arizona Coyotes can stay in the league, but all their games are road games.
Okay. That could be fun.
Yeah, then you don't have to worry about fucking going to Mullet and like playing there till 2027. The team gets punished for being a joke by not being allowed to have any home games.
Yeah.
And if these Arizona fans are so fucking great and supportive, they can travel just like, you know, Canucks and Oilers and Leafs fans do and go down to Mullet.
There you go.
Well, they can, if they're so passionate, fucking
yeah.
Go to Calgary.
Yeah. There you go.
So there.
Oh boy.
Brock Besser scored 40 goals.
Good for him. You know, he's obviously had a tough couple years, so that is very, very nice to see.
Well, it's just crazy too, like thinking back. Just that whole scene last night of the crowd chanting Connor Garland.
I know.
As the Canucks are sitting at 104 points leading the Pacific Division.
Crazy.
Everyone in the stands on their feet for Connor Garland. If you told me that in October.
Really, really, really insane.
God damn. Hey, oh, yeah. And by the way, Besser scored 40 and JT Miller broke 100 points.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. I still cannot believe the turnaround that they've had. It's unreal, the turnaround they've had.
Which, like, playoffs, man. Roll of the dice. Who the fuck knows?
I don't want to say I'm just happy to be here, but fuck it. I am just happy to be here. How could you not be just happy to be here? You know? Well,
I'm happy to have a roll of the dice, man.
Yes.
I love the lottery.
Yeah.
I just remember looking at like preseason projections, right? And you see the bell curve of where the Canucks could end up with the most likely thing was that they're going to be at like, you know, 96.5 points, like right on the bubble of the playoffs. And then you have like the bell curve example on the opposite ends of the spectrum. And they're on the high end of the spectrum right now. Yeah. Right.
Hey, so am that's, I.
Hey, that proves to me that like, you know, these random things can happen in a good way.
Yes.
So just like how fucking nobody in the world would have predicted Vancouver to finish ahead of Edmonton and Vegas and LA to start the season. And I mean, they're probably not going to be anyone's cup pick besides like John Garrett and Connor Bedard.
This is the first year in a while where John Garrett is, it's like, okay, that he's picking them to win the cup, you know?
Right. So like, do I think it's the most likely outcome that they went? No, but I can see a path to it happening if, you know, everything breaks correctly. Yeah. So I'm just excited to be on like for the ride. Like I'm going to overreact after every game in the playoffs. Like I know this for certain.
No question.
But
how could you not?
I'm here for it. I'm like, My dick is so hard to watch playoff hockey. Dude, I'm personally invested in.
I keep saying it, but just them coming out on the ice for the first time in front of people in the playoffs for like a decade to Streets Have No Name, I'm going to start crying.
And tears in my eyes.
How could you not? It's going to be incredible. I can't fucking wait. Oh my God. Oh. We're getting close. It's playoffs.
And then you're
playoffs
have Jesse Ferrar in your ear.
Oh boy.
Telling you that it sucks.
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. We have 11 days until the playoffs start. And I am so fucking excited. It's going to be so much fun.
Have you heard the discussion about like when the Canucks might play their first playoff game?
Well, because
if they play Nashville, what it's going to look like for schedule?
Because they play on the
18th.
The 18th, right?
Yeah. And then, so that's a Thursday, right? Sure. It's next Thursday.
Yeah.
And the playoffs are going to start on the 20th.
Okay.
So, which is the Saturday. So, yes. If the Canucks play on the Saturday, which I think TV-wise makes the most sense for both broadcasters, because obviously the Leafs are going to play the early game on Saturday.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the late game, I think they're going to want the Vancouver matchup so that they can have the Connor McDavid game as like the counter program to the Leafs playing, right? And then I also think from like an American broadcaster standpoint, like they would like McDavid to be on the Sunday so they can also have like bigger Sunday numbers, because he's going to draw regardless way more than Vancouver would draw down there, right?
Yeah.
So I just think that that's like the ideal TV lineup.
Yeah, I think so.
But if that was to happen and the Canucks were to play the Predators, their last game is like 4 days before that. It's 4 or 5 days.
Oh, so they're going to be rest. Yeah. Okay. Mm.
So they get like way more rest.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, because in the playoffs, people always say, yeah, their last game is on the 15th. So yeah, they'd have like 5 days of rest, which kind of blows, right? Like you win your division and then you get to play this well-rested wildcard team.
It's just, we know that's just how it works for the Canucks. It's how it's always worked for the Canucks, right? Like when they won the President's Trophy the first time, their reward was the fucking Chicago Blackhawks. And then the following year, the reward was the LA Kings. So
that's
it's
true.
Never going to be easy for them, unfortunately, which fucking sucks, but. That's just how it's how it is, you know? It's just how it is.
So this is another case for why there should be a play-in. Because if you're a wild card team, you'd have to play like another game or two, so there's like a bit of a break
competitive for the teams
advantage
too.
For the team that does really well throughout the entire regular season.
Absolutely. I agree.
Said it last time. It just makes the regular season more important, because you have those type. Imagine if Vegas or LA, one of the two, had to play a play-in game, like how motivated they'd be now at the end of the regular season to get into that last wild card spot, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just don't see that now, because they don't really care.
No.
Maybe they care a little bit.
Well, I think probably a little bit, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing I wanted to say on this podcast ep, Stefan.
Let's hear it.
The idea that Vegas would like intentionally try to lose games so they don't have to play Edmonton the first round is fucking absurd.
No teams do that. That happens in soccer occasionally. It happened in soccer when, like, in the World Cup, when the teams would play on the last day of the round robin at the same time. So, or when they would play at different times. And so teams could kind of lose or tie on purpose so both teams would go through, and that's why they play at the same time now, you know what I mean? So it's happened before in other sports. It's not happening. It's just not happening. I'm sorry. That's so insane.
It surprises me to hear that would happen in soccer. Like, maybe they're wired differently, but even from playing fucking competitive rugby in Alberta.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that you would ever intentionally not try to win a game is just like not in the competitive spirit of sports.
Yeah.
And like, management can try and tank. Sure. You can put teams in like the worst possible position to win games as a manager. That makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah.
But like, there's no way that they're going into the dressing room and be like, well, I'd much rather play Vancouver in the first round than the Edmonton Oilers, because ooh, they're so scary when they're top. Fuck no. if you're that in that position, you think that you could beat anyone in the world because you're the fucking man. And that's the like mindset that they're all going to have. Yeah. So
correct. That's absolutely
so there.
Right. Yep.
That's that on that.
Yep. Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that about covers it.
I had one more quick thing. I know we're wrapping up, yeah. But I just want to get this last note.
Of course.
Have you noticed that the Pettersson line, Hoglander like seems like the dominant puck carrier in the offensive zone?
Yeah. He's been trying some pretty cool stuff. And I think we are fast approaching him scoring an absolutely outrageous goal pretty soon. It seems like he's overdue. Yeah, like
another one.
Yeah.
I'm like here for it. He protects the puck pretty well.
Yeah.
I think like if I were to have a critique on Pettersson, I would like to see him with the puck more in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
But having said that, he also had some like really nice zone entries last night.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just like noticing Hoglander in a positive way. And I expect that out of Pettersson, but just a little trend that I wrote down in my notes last night that I wanted to get out.
Hey, Hoglander's another guy who I'm really excited to see in the playoffs too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's gonna be, I mean, I'm just excited to see all of them in the playoffs, you know? I'm just excited to watch the playoffs. I can't wait.
I love this team.
Oh, I really do.
You should get a Garland jersey as your playoff jersey.
I know, that's the one I was thinking of, to be honest.
That's the one.
I want a Joshua one too, but obviously I want to wait until he gets re-signed.
Yeah. So but the thing with Garland, two more years.
Exactly.
Baby.
Exactly.
And then who knows?
Yeah. Oh boy. Well.
The 400th game, man.
Yeah. I would love to get, I hope they sell those shirts too.
Yeah.
I really want them to sell those shirts.
They go from like a really bad t-shirt to like a really cool and funny one.
Yeah.
I hope they do 401st game t-shirts.
Yeah, why not?
Did you hear the story behind it where like Garland joked that he wanted to do it for a player's 200th game?
Oh, really? No.
And then like never, I think they never followed through with it, or it was just like, haha, wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
And so then JT went and actually did it for Garland's game.
So good.
To like get back at him.
The pictures of the guys wearing them, it's just so funny. I just love that bit. It's a very, I love when anyone does a bit. It's a good bit, you know?
Very good bit.
Yeah.
Man, the other JT Miller funny thing last night is they're asking him about Besser scoring 40.
Yeah.
And he was like, I actually hate it because I always like to tease him that he can't score unless he's playing with me. And so now that he's not on my line, and he's still producing. He's kind of pissing me off.
I really do love this team. They have a lot of personality. They're so much fun. They're really, it's just nice. It's just very nice.
Nothing bad is ever going to happen.
That's right. That's right. Correct.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
We'll catch you later this week.
Go Canucks, go.
Peace.
Louis Erickson has agreed to a 6-year deal with Vancouver Canucks.
For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Center right,
baby.
Skip past Cloutier.
My contract sucks.
Dustin Bufflin's had a heck of a series, and Chicago in total control.
Yeah, this is all over. You can order the autopsy
the now. Selection, Vancouver select from the London Knights, Ole Ulevi.
Choked.